Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Again, it's Linda Okwajena here with another SBCN Small Biz Podcast. Today, my guest is an SBCN member. He's a very, very nice human, Marios Matsias, and he's the managing partner of Five Key Partners. Good afternoon. How are you, my friend?
I am quite well, and thank you for inviting me. It is a pleasure. I don't know if you know this, but it's the first time that somebody's asked me to do a podcast.
The good thing about this being your first one is we're going to introduce you to our listeners. And I would like you to tell me, first of all, if you don't mind, why did you come up with the name Five Key Partners? It's very unusual.
Well, first of all, I kept talking about that there seems to be, first of all, my outlook on business is that we can't just look inside, we have to look out there in our business ecosystem. And I found that there was like five key partnerships that sometimes we ignore. We love our suppliers and we love our customers, and those are two key partnerships that we maintain. But you know, there's a whole bunch of other partnerships that are critical to our success as a business. One of them is the competition. Obviously, we have to understand who they are. We have to be able to interact with them. We have to be able to work around or with them, you know, to show that we are a little bit different than the general competition. Mm-hmm. Another one is the government. You know, there's the political environment and there's the regulatory environment. You know, how can we position our business so that we can be successful given the government? One of the others is, and this is the one that I lean on Malcolm Gladwell a lot, is who are our supporters and who are our champions, that when they understand that we do, are quite willing to refer us and help us and move us along. So when you look at that, there's like five key partnerships there that are very important in how you position your business and pushing it to grow. Since that was what I thought, something that was missing in the conversation, I named my company Five Key Partners.
That's a really interesting way to look at it, because you're completely right. They are our partners. For instance, a lot of businesses actually look at their competition as not a partner, but more of a problem, because, you know, they may steal your customers. And obviously, you've got the right idea. You are actually a managing partner. What does a managing partner do? It seems like you manage everything. Well, is that true?
First of all, I'm a sole provider. But what happened was, when I started working with different companies, different founders, I found that, first of all, this whole idea of a sole entrepreneur, they were kind of wary about that. Mm-hmm. But then I come in and I say, you know what? I do have a very strong marketing person that I think I should bring in along to get us going in a direction. I think you need it. Or there might be an operations person, or there might be a sales advisor, you know, because as a coach, I have a pretty good understanding of what's involved. But when it comes to something very specific in an industry, I want to bring the industry expertise. And by saying managing partner, I want to say that I'm going to manage this whole relationship and this process. You don't have to start dealing with different kinds of people. You're hiring me, and you're trusting me with a team that I'm going to put together to solve our problem.
That's a really good idea, because what you are doing, you're bringing in these experts, mm-hmm, to fit the client at that time. They're not maybe always the same people, because that might not be a good fit. That's a brilliant idea. Now, if I'm correct, you've been in business, is it 12 years?
It's been 15, actually. And in that time, I've been able to really understand these founders, single entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs that are trying to grow their business. Because I really did focus on first the smaller sort of driven individuals who basically said, I think my business can do more and I'm trying to put things together. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The DIY thing doesn't give me any measure of certainty and I don't know if it's helping me grow. Mm-hmm. And that's where I come in and try to put together some ideas for them, but put together a strategy that helps them to bring that certainty and also gets them that return that they need in order to justify it. You know, one thing, Linda, that's always been really interesting for me was that when you say business coach, a lot of people just sort of shy away and don't want to talk to you, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is that if you look at some of the most successful people in the business, Bezos, Djokovic, Oprah, they all have coaches.
Yeah.
They all have a coaching team that helps them to get to that next step because there's no way that they can foresee everything.
Yeah.
And you know what? In team sports, that coach, we just finished the World Cup, that coach is a vital piece. He gets as much video time as some of the players out there because it is his philosophy that's helping them, the team, to excel or et cetera. And he's also the one to blame.
Mm-hmm.
But in business, it's like we have this mentality. I built this. I should be able to figure everything out. And I should be able to find out in a DIY kind of world with all this information, I should be able to figure this out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's never proven to be true. Very few work that model. And then if you dig a little deeper, you find that they have some kind of a coaching system behind them. It's just that it's not evident. I never want to be front and center of a company that I'm working with. I want to be the one behind that's helping them make the right decisions and bringing the maximum income that they can for their business. It's never been about me. It's always been about my client and the impact that we're having on their customers.
Mm-hmm. Couple of things I'd like to add is longevity in your case or anyone who has been operating a certain business for a long time. They are the kind of people that when they're looking for clients, there's a sign, kind of a trust there. There's a trust already there because the person who has been operating a business a certain amount of time and not giving up themselves know the struggles of how you, for instance, got there and how you can assist your clients. What's happened over the past 5 or 10 years, unfortunately, and this applies to business networking as well. So, for instance, I never promise to refer someone until I've got to know them better and can trust them. Because if I refer someone when I first meet them just to look good, they may ruin my reputation.
Right.
So when business networking comes into it, it really is all about building a community, building a trust and building relationships, not with everybody, just with people you feel you gel with.
Right.
In the case of coaches, unfortunately, over the 5 or 10 years,
I love this argument. Yeah.
Thank you. It's a discussion, not an argument, a debate. But over the past 5 or 10 years, a lot of people, sole proprietors, whatever, have taken on the role of a coach. And it's become a bad word. And yes. I will tell you for why. This is the best thing because I do a lot of research on this. Some coaches, like yourself and other people I know and respect, are fantastic. You've just said it. You don't want to be in the limelight. You are supporting them from behind. And you obviously charge them a good fee, but you have proved your worth. That is why you have your clients and you've got a good brand. a lot of coaches come from nowhere because it's the thing to be today. They charge way too much money. And then when the client is not happy, they ask for more money because the client somehow has done it wrong. So unfortunately, in some cases, not in yours, the word coach is a very untrustworthy word today, whereas I know from watching you, observing you, getting to know you, and we've known each other a while now, that you're not like those other coaches. And it doesn't actually mean that you've got to be in business 10 or 15 years. It just means that if you could do something for yourself, if you can be a good marketer and market your own business and then decide you're going to do it for other people, you've proven that you can do it. You don't have to go to school to do it, but if you do, go to school for it. So, yeah, it's a debate. What do you think of my thoughts? It'd be interesting.
Well, the interesting thing is that it's very difficult to tell a professional person, an accountant, an operations specialist that has broken off and is trying to work for themselves. Very difficult to talk to them because their comfort level is a mentor that has done that business specifically and seems to be able to give you a level of certainty because you can look at that person and say, well, they've been successful following this process. Mm-hmm. So there's that mentorship sort of, you know, feel to it. I'm going to talk to a mentor before I talk to a coach. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that with AI and all those other things happening right now, especially AI, you can draft and put a whole plan together based on a philosophy based on simply on your whim that you can try to sell. And if you're very good at selling this idea, then you can sell this canned package. And basically, if 5% of the people are successful, we can zero in on their success to sell the other 95%.
Correct.
Now, I find that absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
One of the things that you should be able to do is understand your client and what they've gone through and what is it their desire to do. And you have to be able to have a process that you can customize to their needs.
Yeah.
Not, here's the formula, pay me your $500 a month for 6 months. You know, and, you know, good for them that they're able to do that. But I come back to the people that I say that I work with, they're the ones that actually have that signal to me that says my business could do more. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to put the pieces together. Mm-hmm. That's a person that understands I'm really good at what I do. Mm-hmm. Right. My customers, even if they're one or two, are saying fantastic work. If I've worked in a profession for another company beforehand, I've got rave reviews, et cetera, et cetera. But mm-hmm. I'm looking to do something for myself. I see a signal for me that says I have a possibility of being successful. Mm-hmm. But I believe that my business can do more, and I'm trying to place things so that they fit. And that's the kinds of clients that I work with mm-hmm. that buy into the system because first I customize their need. I look at their business and I look at themselves and I say, these three components have to work in order to get success. Mm-hmm. And the last part, Linda, is the first thing we've got to work on has to be successful and show a return in 90 days.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to take you on a path for 6 months only to say this was a mistake from the word go. Because my credibility depends on me mm-hmm. being able to show some kind of return within mm-hmm. the 90 days.
You've hit the nail on the head, and I think we are a rare breed. For my consulting business, it's been about 15 years now, and I didn't do any training. I was actually, clients were coming to me because I'd done what they wanted to do in various different businesses. But my point was, I knew even then, for instance, I didn't like school. I didn't like high school. I haven't been to college, university. Everything I've done, whether it's mistakes, you know, something going wrong or successes, I've learned lessons from it. But what I say is one size does not fit all. And you've just said exactly the same. Right. Every client is different. So I think a lot of the so-called coaches out there, they do just throw this paperwork at them and says, that's what you've got to look at, that's what we're going to do. I do it for all my clients and they're like six-figure earners, all that kind of stuff. And this is why I really, really am interested in how you do it, why you do it as well, especially. And success isn't just about how many clients you've got. Success is about you doing something you love and you're passionate about. For instance, why did you start this business?
For several reasons. My story is, it sounds typical. I was a mentor before I was a coach. Because when I was in retail, my brother and I ran a high-end fashion shop, but we didn't start that way. We started a jean shop, a unisex jean shop that was, showing my age, something like bootlegger and thrifties and all that. middle of the road, if you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
But then we started looking what was happening in Europe, and what was being translated in Montreal New York City and whatever. And we started seeing these outrageously priced high-end fashion denim-based companies that are coming from Europe.
Yeah.
And you know what? We said, that is one market that is not being exploited. Can we do it? Can we? And within 6 months, we were able to transition our business to that level. Don't go to Toronto to go shopping, pay for parking, have lunch, deal with the traffic coming home, come to our shops and, you know, get the same both worlds, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And also an interpretation of what that fashion would look like in Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, and Guelph,
mm-hmm.
right? Not, you know, something that's not in the middle of Toronto and something outside of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
That attracted people coming to us, first of all, retailers, and saying, how are you able to pull this off? And, you know, we started saying, these are the things that we experienced. These were the signals that we saw, etc. I closed my business and I was looking for something else to do because, you know, fashion was great when you're young, but when you get to be at a certain age, you have a family and you can't go to Toronto and party on the weekend and, you know, be in that mix, etc. Yeah. So I started looking at, what could I do? And I was very much interested, especially since I did my MBA at Laurier. There has to be a academic component to this as well.
Ah.
It is not just experiential. So I saw, what are the academics saying about business and about how they position business and what success looks like? And then I started putting things together. The other thing that I did was I went out and did, now it's 78 interviews of successful people that are running their business, very small to very, you know, very high end, very busy, you know, one employee, 100 employees. I didn't do anything bigger than that. And I noticed that there was a certain pattern there. And I said, this is a model that I think I can put together that I can customize for clients depending on the industry. But also I can, actually use what I've learned from these, summarize what I've learned from these people. And that's the difference between mentorship and coaching. Mm-hmm. Coaching says I can pull trends from many different industries and bring them to work. Mentorship says in this specific industry, I've had a success doing things this way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah. I can help you. And that's been the real interesting, you know, and the aha moment for me. So in case you're interested, these are the things that I coach, and I call it the de facto system just simply because I had to call it something. And you can tell my language is very basic. I don't get too complex. So one of the things that I realized that these people were able to identify what the signal was for growth and were able to strategize to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always like a test. It was like, are you selling value? You know, are you shifting from being a competitive price to someone that gives you the highest perceived value and impact to your clients? That was one of the things that I saw common across the 78 companies. The next thing was the credibility. And you know yourself, Linda, our credibility is our currency.
Yeah.
And you touched on this when you talked to me. You know, we want to turn our reputation, proof of the concept, and the results that we give, and turn that into an asset that helps us get more clients, but also makes that first conversation with our client all that more trusting. Because they see that we are, you know, they see our background, they see our LinkedIn profile, they see the work that we've done. They've gotten great referrals from our champions and referrers. Mm-hmm. They know that this is a serious person that can help, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was, and this was really interesting, was they have a very good control of the client engagement process, how we find our clients, how we, you know, what does that journey look like from first contact to how we are able to turn them into clients, how we are able to maintain them, and then build a reputation along the way. Mm-hmm. Until either they're going to keep us forever, which in coaching is not necessarily the case, but they have this positive feeling that they're ready to refer us to others, right? And then the last thing we talked about, the five key partners. How are we going to position our business so that we can take advantage of any key partnerships, but also be very aware of the competition and how they can react if we do something that affects their business? This acts like a questionnaire. A question. Is this thing that you're about to embark going to increase our value? Is it going to hurt or gain our credibility? How are we going to be able to use this in terms of our control of the client engagement system? How is the business ecosystem going to react if we embark on this?
Mm-hmm.
But it also governs how we're going to do things. We're not going to do anything unless it increases the value and the impact of our clients, right? And that enhances our credibility, or at least matches our credibility. And you know what? Help us along the way of being better focused, determined, and accountable to our clients, right? And then maintains or moves it into a better ecosystem position. Keeping this framework and coaching along the way as my clients build their strategy and their action plan makes things a lot easier, because we can put some benchmarks of where we want to go, and we can put some milestones, and we can also put some results, and we can say, how did we get there? And you know what, Linda, if we said we're going to hit this at 100% and we hit 90, well, you know what? We're on our way.
I definitely agree. And listen, I know you've got a busy afternoon coming up. I was sitting there thinking, I can't keep you much longer. But in closing, what is one, maybe, you know, some words of wisdom that you could offer to somebody out there if they are looking for a coach? I mean, they could be looking for you. They've found you many, many times. But just, you know, just something so people know what to look for. And obviously, you know, mm-hmm. it's coming from your heart. It's not really, you know.
Yes.
So basically, what do you think would help them?
I think there's a reason that you got to work for yourself. And I don't care if you lost your job and you're moving in that direction, or you saw something that you thought, I can do a better job of this,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think there's enough potential customers out there for me to run a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. That's the motivation, right? Break away from the feeling that you have to control everything. Seek advice. Join a networking group like SBCN.
Yeah.
Find the people that are looking for people are there for various reasons: comfort, for emotional, looking for more business, looking to connect and build great referrers, all that, right?
Yeah.
But really zero in and say, am I getting what I need out of this business? Is there something more? I believe in my business. You have to believe in your business, right? And be dedicated to it. But what is it that I can do? And then explore coaching.
Yeah.
Explore it, and by means of asking some of those successful people if they have ever done coaching. A lot of them will say no because they have this DIY mentality. I'm a self-made sort of person.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But there is a whole group, and you're Linda, you're one of those people, right? Mm-hmm. Where you say, you know what? I'm in that business where I get to meet lots of these people. What is it that you're looking for? And whatever that mix between emotional comfort and, you know, physical outputs, there's a coach in there that will work with you. Mm-hmm. Right? So that exploration is vital, I think. In this world of everybody thinks they can coach, or everybody thinks just because they're a great practitioner, they should be making their $150,000 to $200,000 a year.
Mm.
There's those people that say, I am quite capable. I need a system in place that I can see the results and work towards what I want to achieve with my business.
That's wonderful. It's really, those were wonderful words of wisdom. If you do have this time to come back, maybe towards the end of August, you know, I'd love to explore with you. It'd be a great conversation. It would be how the connections we make, whether it's through clients, through networking, through any avenue really, how those people we network with in all walks of life, how they become our trusted relationship and how we help each other. I'd love you to discuss that with me, because you do that very well, because mm-hmm. you talk about partners, you know, key partners. So basically, whether it's our hairdresser, you know, whether it's the local coffee shop. So if you do get the chance to come back towards the end of August, I know you're incredibly busy, that would be a lovely topic for us to discuss, because you and I have sometimes different opinions, but I think we come together in the middle somewhere, don't we?
I would love to do this again. I mean, you know what, Linda, it's always a pleasure. One of the things that I always say is that to have the opportunity to talk to people, not necessarily like-minded, but in that business of self-employment, entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. et cetera,
yeah.
the ideas that flow back and forth just makes us all better.
It's amazing. So I like my guests to leave, you know, how you can be contacted, if you have a website, if you don't mind sharing that with us.
Sure. My LinkedIn profile, Marios Matsius / LinkedIn, whatever, Marios M. Matsius, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a website called, you know, www.5keypartners. And my email is exactly the same, you know, Marios, Marios, at 5keypartners.com. I would love to have a conversation, yeah.
You have been a wonderful guest, and I always love our conversations because I'll find out something new about you, or I'll learn something new. So have a really lovely afternoon, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you very much, Linda. It was a pleasure.